The Unfortunate Bride, or The Blind Lady of Beauty, by Aphra Behn. Frankwit and Wildville were two young gentlemen of very considerable fortunes, both born in Staffordshire, and, during their minority, both educated together, by which opportunity they contracted a very inviolable friendship, a friendship which grew up with them, and though it was remarkably known to everybody else, they knew it not themselves. They never made profession of it in words, but actions. So true a warmth their fires could boast, as needed not the effusion of their breath to make it live. Wildville was of the richest family, but Frankwit of the noblest. Wildville was admired for outward qualifications, as strength and manly proportions, Frankwit for a much softer beauty, for his inward endowments, pleasing in his conversation, of a free and moving air, humble in his behaviour, and if he had any pride, it was but just enough to shew that he did not affect humility. His mind bowed with emotion as unconstrained as his body. Nor did he force this virtue in the least, but he allowed it only. So amiable he was, that every virgin that had eyes knew too she had a heart, and knew as surely she should lose it. His Cupid could not be reputed blind. He never shot for him, but he was sure to wound. As every other nymph admired him, so he was dear to all the tuneful sisters. The muses were fired with him as much as their own radiant god Apollo. Their loved springs and fountains were not so grateful to their eyes as he. Him they esteemed their Helicon and Parnassus too. In short, whenever he pleased, he could enjoy them all. Thus he enamoured the whole female sex. But amongst all the sighing captives of his eyes, Belvira only boasted charms to move him. Her parents lived near his, and even from their childhood they felt mutual love, as if their eyes, at their first meeting, had struck out such glances as had kindled into amorous flame. And now Belvira, in her 14th year, when the fresh spring of young virginity began to cast more lively bloomings in her cheeks, and softer longings in her eyes, by her indulgent father's care, was sent to London to a friend, her mother being lately dead. When, as if fortune ordered it so, Frankwit's father took a journey to the other world to let his son the better enjoy the pleasures and delights of this. The young lover, now with all imaginable haste, interred his father, nor did he shed so many tears for his loss as might in the least quench the fire which he received from his Belvira's eyes. But, master of £1,700 a year, which his father left him, with all the wings of love, flies to London, and solicits Belvira with such fervency that it might be thought he meant death's torch should kindle Hymen's. And now, as soon as he arrives at his journey's end, he goes to pay a visit to the fair mistress of his soul, and assures her that though he was absent from her, yet she was still with him, and that all the road he travelled, her beauteous image danced before him,